And on the line, I've got Lani Puriri. Good morning.
Good morning, Aaron. How are you this morning?
I'm pretty good, although it's literally just started raining outside my window. Just a little patch of rain coming through this morning here in Raglan.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Well, we have had some really great, beautiful fall days, so.
Yes, we have. It was interesting to start off talking about rain because we want to talk about gratitude today, the science of gratitude.
Right.
And some of us see the rain outside and we just don't feel very grateful at all.
True. That's very true.
But where did you want to start off with this? And maybe we'll use the rain as an example later.
First of all, we're talking about the science of gratitude, but as always, I should probably mention why we're talking about the science of gratitude and why I care about your brain and your body and your mind.
Yes. I didn't start off with my usual question, did I?
No, you didn't, but that's okay. I can pull it in there.
Yes. So we are talking under the general heading of sophrology. So the first question is always around what is that? Over to you, Lani.
So I am a sophrologist. So I'm a person who studies the conscious harmony of the mind-body connection. We're not consciously in connection with our mind and our body. Most of the time we're in our mind, so we're allowing our thoughts to dictate our actions rather than connecting to the body and listening to how our body is talking to us and then being able to use emotional intelligence just by those two, by saying those two words together. You're using the emotion of what we would say the heart. That's not actually where our emotions exist, but we talk about being heart connected. And then your intelligence, which is your brain. So when we talk about the science of anything, we're really talking about what happens in your biology or with your physiology when you exert a thought or an emotion. Or when an emotion happens, actually the science is that the emotion happens in your body. You don't actually create emotion. Emotion is created in your brain. So do we want to go with that?
Well, I guess with a slight aside, we can create an emotion by choosing what we focus on, I guess. But the emotion is, like you say, a thing that kind of happens. But my question is, does every emotion produce a physiological response?
Yes, it does.
Okay, scary.
Yeah. and the emotion, it's actually the amygdala, which is in your brain, in your limbic system, is producing the chemicals of the emotion. And when that happens, your signals are sent out to your body, and then your body produces hormones. And then you, for example, if you have an emotion of, if the amygdala produces an emotion of fear, then cortisol is produced in the body. And if you respond to that cortisol, if you overly respond to that cortisol, then it can be very damaging to your body. And in the opposite of that, when the amygdala produces happiness in the body, then it produces serotonin and dopamine, which are your pleasurable happy hormones. And then you can enjoy happiness.
And has happiness been known to be damaging to our body at all?
It's not so much damaging as it is using the appropriate emotion in the moment. So, you know, you might be in a space where a person is telling you a very heart-wrenching, sad story, something that happened to them, or an experience where they felt afraid or something like that. And if you responded with happiness, that would be the wrong way to respond, clearly. Okay.
Yeah, that was you're really not listening.
If
you're doing that. It was a bit of a silly question, but I suppose it's always worth checking with these things.
I mean, you can overexert in anything, you know, if you're in a meeting and it's supposed to be serious and your boss is talking, you know, about something serious and then you start laughing at him. I mean, here's another scenario. Have you as a parent ever been disciplining your child and your child laughs at you?
Mm-mm. Or the other way around.
Has that ever happened?
I don't know. We weren't big on like overt forms of discipline, so we might have sidestepped that a fair bit. But the opposite can happen. I know when the child is very upset and the adult laughs. Actually, as a kid, I remember that. If I was very upset and an adult laughed, that was like crushing. Yeah.
Which, you know, so that's why we want to be in control of our emotions all the time and recognize the most appropriate emotion for the moment.
But you just said, Lana, you said earlier that we don't choose our emotional response.
We don't choose the emotion, but we can choose the response.
Oh, okay. All right. Understand. So gratitude in all of this. Gratitude is an emotion? Is it a state of being?
Gratitude is actually a virtue.
Okay.
It's more like an effect of an emotion or a behavior or a personality trait.
Yeah.
So back many years ago, like 100 years BC, there was a guy and his name was Cicero. And he said that gratitude is not only the greatest of virtues, but probably the parent of all virtues. Because when you have gratitude, it sort of trumps every other, it trumps the negativity of the situation. You can always look for some, so you can always be grateful for something in any moment.
I have a whole big area of discussion around accuracy. People, because in our modern world, people will say, "Oh, but it's not accurate. You're not right to be great. If something's going wrong, that's the wrong. You're factually inaccurate to be gratitude in a situation where things are going wrong." I know that that's not taking into account the science of gratitude and what you're talking about, which is about our physical health, physical and mental health, and how to get ourselves into the right mindset to have good physical and mental health. But we do have this big thing, and you would hear, I'm sure people were thinking that when they heard you say what you just said, that isn't it wrong to feel gratitude when there's other stuff going, you know, factually, it's not right to feel gratitude when something's going wrong?
No, not necessarily, because because it is the parent of all virtues, when you have gratitude, you have more clarity in your mind and you can think more clearly about your response and what your response is going to be. For example, if you are grateful, it can be like a moral motivator, and that encourages you to respond positively to helping other people. The effects of gratitude is also a moral measurement, so that it draws your attention to help you receive. A lot of times we're not very good at receiving, right? We're really good at giving and how can I help you and what do you need? And then if someone comes to us and says, hey, you know, how can I help you and what do you need? And you're like, I don't need anything, which is probably not the truth.
Yeah, I'm fine. I'm fine, thanks.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So having a attitude of gratitude, which is a cliche, I guess, that we say all the time, when you dwell in a space of gratitude, you can be grateful for that person who's offering help, and it kind of lessens the blow of the ego. You know, rather than us saying, oh no, I'm all good. You know, I don't need any help, which is really your ego responding. Right. So when you have gratitude, you can start with, oh, I'm so grateful for this person who is offering help to me. And I want to receive this gratitude and respond. So my behavior is now going to respond in a way that builds my relationship and strengthens the relationship. So you end up having a healthy relationship through gratitude.
So let's talk some more about the science. Like, what's happening? Like, you mentioned before about when you're in a place of fear that your body is pumping cortisol through your system, and we know from past discussions that's meant to be used for, you know, running away from the saber-toothed tiger or something like that. That's the cliche that we say, but it's meant to be kind of used. But we might be sitting in our office at a desk and it doesn't get used up, and that cortisol ends up being bad for us in our system all the time. What, is gratitude the opposite of that? What's it doing? Oh, can you hear that noise? I bet you can hear that noise.
I can hear that noise, and that mean, and I can't hear you very well.
Yeah. That, folks, Lani's listening on a different mic to the one that you're listening on, so she's hearing the noise. But I'm sure that actually listeners heard the motorbike as well. That was very loud. Are we grateful for the motorbike? I'm not sure. Back to the science. What's happening physiologically in our body for when we're in a state of gratitude?
Yeah. So when we're not in a state of gratitude, basically what happens is the stress hormone is released, cortisol, too much cortisol, which makes us feel anxious, stressed, or scared. So someone comes up to us, offers their help, and we are fearful of that. We're embarrassed. We don't want people to acknowledge that we actually need help. And so therefore, the embarrassment and the fear creates an overrush of cortisol in the body, which then, and so depending on how long you stay in that space, you can be very anxious. Your heart rate goes up, your blood pressure goes up, your mind becomes foggy and you can't think clearly. And so your immediate response is, no, I don't need your help. And so then the relationship might be a little bit hindered in that situation, or you actually go home and you're like, oh, wow, I actually do need help and I didn't ask for help. And then you're depressed because you didn't respond in the right way, and or you didn't have the courage to respond. And so you start talking negatively to yourself. Mm. And so you stay in that stressful space for a long period of time. Whereas if you had just said, yeah, I do need some help, actually, I'm really grateful for your help, that triggers the brain to release dopamine and serotonin, which are those. Sorry about that.
Yeah. Do you need a glass of water?
It's those morning voices, you know.
Yeah, mm. Yeah. Do you want to have a little break, or are you good?
Oh, I just took some water, so
okay.
I don't know. We'll get through it. I've been dealing with my throat and my voice for a week now. So, anyway. So that creates higher levels of dopamine and serotonin and lower levels of the cortisol, stressful hormone. And so this takes practice, you know, it takes regularly reminding your brain that you can, choose gratitude and you can choose happiness.
It takes
practice. It's not something you can just be like, oh, I've now heard this interview that Aaron and Lani had, and so tomorrow, or I'm going to just walk away from this, and the rest of today I'm going to be grateful and happy for everything. Mm. That's not how it works. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you actually have to train your brain to move into that space,
yeah,
so that you can be more focused in that area.
So the back to the physiology of it, so the release of dopamine and what was the other one? Serotonin.
Serotonin.
Yeah, that... Obviously, it makes us feel good. Like, we notice that. Are those chemicals good for us, or is it just the absence of cortisol that's good for us and good for our health?
So cortisol can have two effects on you. So there's an acute stress and there's a chronic stress.
Yeah.
The acute stress will put you into a space of motivation, so you'll actually want to achieve something. Like if you're trying to meet a deadline or you're out you're playing sports and you're trying to, you know, score a goal or whatever, you're in an acute state of stress, which is actually just a motivator for the body. So cortisol isn't always bad. It's actually helping you. Like in the morning when you wake up, your body starts producing cortisol because it's trying to motivate you to move through the day. The stressful cortisol is the one that's chronic when you do allow those harmful emotions, anger, fear, frustration, embarrassment to get in the way, and you focus more fully on those. And then cortisol builds up and builds up, and then your heart rate. So when you talk about the physiology of the body, it's listening to the heart, your heart beating. So your heart is racing, your blood pressure's up, your hands can get sweaty and calm and clammy. These are the signs of stress. Also, if you're in a state of depression, your body becomes numb. So sometimes you're lying in bed and you just feel like, oh, I can't get out of bed today. That's also a state of ingratitude.
Mm. So if just on a purely practical look at it, exercise just generally must be useful for like burning up the cortisol in your body, like because that's what it was originally intended for, some physical activity.
Exercise and any kind of movement in the body will help with your happy hormones, your endorphins.
Yeah.
So it increases all of that. Your endorphins are heightened. And a lot of times, you know, when you're exercising, you can possibly be around other people, like at a gym, or you're walking with a friend, or you're cycling or whatever. But you're usually oftentimes you're doing it with other people, and so therefore you're developing stronger relationships as well. You can also be outside in nature, which is always more beneficial to the body than spending a good portion of your day indoors. We do that, and so we have to give ourselves reasons to get outside, or recognize that I am grateful for nature and I'm going to go for a walk now, or be outside in nature.
Lani, I had a couple of conversations over the weekend about the overhang, the hangover from COVID, where people are staying at home by themselves more and all that sort of thing still, and are not tending to our relationships in the same way we used to. Do you sort of see that through the sophrology lens?
Yeah, definitely. We definitely got really used to being at home by ourselves, and that's a social anxiety issue. And there's actually another hormone that gets produced in your body with social engagement, which is called oxytocin. The more oxytocin your body produces, the stronger the desire to go out and engage with people. We had that, stay at home, don't go out. And we became fearful of being around other people. And that's what we trained our brains to do for a couple of years. So now we're having to retrain the brain that it's okay to be out in public, that just because a person around you is coughing doesn't mean you're going to get COVID and be sick. It's just a matter of being aware and being, again, when you exuberate gratitude in situations, like I'm just grateful to be out here in this where I am. I'm grateful for my body. I'm grateful that I'm walking around, that I'm seeing new things, that, I'm just around people, that I've enjoyed someone smiling at me today or asking me how I am. It's just having to tune into those things. So you're having to retrain the brain to be grateful in any given situation. And then gratitude will help you to produce all of those pleasurable and happy and healthy hormones for the body.
So the question then is, was the heavy isolation that we went through, that is counterproductive for the issues you're talking about. Has anyone done a study to see if it was actually worth it, or whether the combined effects of depression, loneliness, and just the bad habits of staying isolated afterwards, whether that was actually worth it in the end?
There's definitely been a lot of studies done. The Surgeon General of the United States declared loneliness last year in May, I think. He declared loneliness as an epidemic.
Yeah.
And so basically they've proven that you can die from loneliness, that it's detrimental to our health and well-being. And again, when you recognize, like, I'm one of those people, I'm quite reclusive. I'm really introverted.
Yeah.
I could be by myself for, 2 or 3 days and then realize the lack of engagement with other people. And I actually have to coach myself into going out and being around people.
Yeah.
So I may just go, instead of doing an online grocery order, I might go to the supermarket, or, you know, just go wander around the shops, or, you know, sit in a space where I can look at people and just smile at other people, go for a walk, maybe on a trail where I might see other people and smile at them. Recognizing, it's about recognizing what's happening with your body and what you're feeling. It's actually not good for us to, seclude ourselves from other people. We're meant to be, we're social, beings, social animals. We're meant to be out and engaging with other people, out engaging with nature. We're not meant to stay in our homes, look at our screens, and be, locked off from other people. So as far as, what you're talking about and reports that have been done, definitely, I'm sure you could Google all sorts of them and you would find how that was actually not, good for us. To be locked down and away from each other.
And you know, something I've just discovered in the last few months, which I didn't realize was happening because it's not happening in Raglan, is you go to fast food joints and places like this cool shopping complex, we'll call it, called Made in Hamilton East now. And you go to buy something and you're confronted with a screen and all the staff have got their backs to you. And there's a screen where you do all the payment and stuff like that. And it completely minimizes all the human contact. And I just hated it. Mm-hmm. I thought it was horrible. And my daughter, 19-year-old daughter, was like, no, that's really common these days. And I think her generation's a lot more used to it and sometimes prefer it. But just before we go, because I think my next interview is due to start, can you give us some clues about how to practice? Because as you said, just knowing this information is not enough. You've actually got to put it into action and repeat it till you wire it into your brain. So what's some advice for that?
I mean, there's a lot of different practices that you can get into. You can do an evening gratitude if you live with other people in a family environment. Maybe at night when you're having dinner together, you might go around the table before you start eating and ask, you know, what's one thing you're grateful for in this day. You can do like immediate gratitude expression. So you think of a person and then you immediately send them an email or a text and just say, I'm grateful for this engagement that I had with you or what have you. You can, when you're driving, if you're driving and if you're a person who drives a long time, like, you know, living in Raglan, that road can get pretty mundane driving back and forth to Hamilton. And so maybe you can look out and be grateful for all the shades of green that you see, or, you know, just finding opportunities to be grateful rather than focus on the boredom or the mundane situations that we get ourselves into.
So it doesn't have to be something significant. It can be something as simple as it's nice that there's so much green stuff in my world.
Yeah. You can also catch yourself, you know, if you start complaining a lot. You can flip it, like when you can be saying, I am grateful for, instead of saying, I hate this moment, or I can't do this thing, or also falling asleep at night. If you lie there and rather than counting sheep, you talk to yourself and say, I am grateful for this. Maybe you go through your day and you think about all the things that you are grateful for. You'll find yourself falling asleep thinking about gratitude, and you actually will sleep better because you've actually calmed your mind and brought it into a state of peace. So you're not thinking worrisome thoughts as you're trying to fall asleep. You're actually thinking about the grateful thoughts. And as it turns out, gratitude is actually a high energy word. So, or high energy behavior. So being grateful actually eludes gratitude within your body, and grateful energy within your body and also around and outside of your body in your quantum field.
Well, look, Lani, it's been really good to talk to you this morning. Time for me to go and for you to go to work probably. Or get to work. Do you want to remind people of your website if they want to follow up this sort of thing with you?
Yeah, definitely. It's sophrosolus.com. Or you can email me, sophrosolus@gmail.com. And Sophro is SOPHRO, sophrosolus@gmail.com.
All right, Lani, thanks heaps for your time this morning.
Yeah, thanks, Aaron.
All right, folks, we can have a little break. And Stephanie's just arrived in the studio, and we're talking to her about inside your mind stuff. in a moment.